Dude, I don't know about no fucking weed, but one of our old drummers used to work at a bagel shop. Apparently he had sexual relations with the bagel when it was in dough state, so whatever you get from these bread industry professionals, take it with a grain of salt, you're all fucking perverts.
Perverts indeed, my friend.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 58.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raper!
No, still not a raper. Still not a raper, my friends. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Once a week, every Sunday. Oh man, we have got a great show planned for you this week. The band Visqueen, Rachel Flotard, and Ben Hooker are going to be joining us shortly. Just lovely, lovely people. We recorded this interview with them, a couple days ago. And they came over and ate cheese and crackers, drank water. Although Ben did ask for a little bit of whiskey in his water, which is, fine. That's great, man.
Heartbreaking!
But we just had a fantastic time. We'll be getting to that here shortly. Things have been good. Things have been pretty good. We've got, people have been writing some new reviews for us on iTunes, which I'll read for you in just a moment. But I would like to, just remind everybody that you can do this on iTunes. Send us a review. Give us a star rating. Only takes a couple moments of your time. And it really helps us out in the long run. Because now we are, of course, a part of the Noisebeam Network, which you can find at noisebeam.com. That's NOIZBEAM.com. A bunch of great shows on there. That you can find Planned Brotherhood, Grapes of Wrath, Stack of Dimes, Sibling Rivalry, Unload with Madge and Dave, of course the Air Raid Podcast, Double Plus Good Games, which is a video game podcast down in Portland. So yeah, things have been good. However, the other day, I felt this little tag, I don't know, it felt like a little scab or like an ingrown hair on the back of my head. And I had Maraid go back there and check it out, right, and see what it was. And she said, it was kind of skin toned. It didn't really look like much of anything, but you could feel it. You could feel it back there. It was, it was sticking out. Something was sticking out. So I told her, well, why, get the tweezers and yank on this thing, right? And so she goes and she gets the tweezers and she starts pulling on it. And all of a sudden, I feel this like tug. And it feels like, when something happens on your head, you can kind of hear and feel at the same time of what's happening on your skull, right? Like if you get knocked in the head really hard, you can hear it. You can hear it inside your head because it reverberates everything in your ears, right? Well, it felt like this thing just like pulled out like a whole thatch of hair.
No! Kelly Clarkson.
Right? And so I turned around really quick. It didn't hurt, but it felt like it was ripping. And so I turned around. I was like, "What? Did you just pull out a bunch of hair in the back of my head?" Thinking that I was going to have like this new bald spot, continuing the bald spot that's growing on the top of my head. But no, it was not hair. It was this long, like dead. I don't know what it was, but it was this long, dead, like stringy-looking dead follicle or pore or something in the back of my head, and it just looked so weird. It was like just this like scabby kind of. This is gross. This is gross, isn't it? Yeah. I hope you're not eating anything while you're listening to this. But yeah, it was just this like this gross like tube. It almost looked like a tube worm kind of thing that came out of my skull. and I was happy to have it out. It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all. But now I have this big bump, this big cyst-like thing on the back of my head that will not go away. And it's kind of tender. It's kind of sore. So I don't know if we have any doctors listening to the show. But could you please email me, aaron@air-raid.net, and tell me what this thing might be? Because now I'm, like, super worried about it. But I don't want to go to the doctor because that's not how I roll, man. That is not how I roll. I do not go to the doctor over stupid little shit like that. I go to the doctor when I throw my back out, which happens often. I'm only 31 years old. I'm already dying. God, how sad is my existence? Anyway, we got some, email me if you know what's going on with my skin. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe what I was thinking about is like maybe she pulled out like a tumor, like the end of a tumor that was like sticking out of my head. What if that was the case? That'd be crazy. What a great cheap way to get rid of a tumor, though, right? Fuck, it kind of hurts right now. I'm messing around with it. Ow. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think I'm dying. This may be the last episode. You never know. The long and drawn-out series could come to an end right now. So, like I said earlier, we got a couple of great reviews. This one from C Major, who I think I may know this guy. In fact, I'm pretty sure I do. He says, he gave us a 5-star rating, and he says, just started listening, and I am hooked. If you love the Northwest, you will love the Air Raid. Thanks, Aaron. So thank you, C Major, for that great, great review. We got another one from NB for Life, which I believe means Noise Beam, so this is probably a Noise Beam listener. If you aren't listening to the Air Raid podcast, you can't be living a fulfilling life. I can't stress enough how much it means to hear silky, smooth stylings of Mr. Aaron Roden. My wish is that everyone would get the chance to hear this man's long and drawn-out series. You will be a better person after listening. It's just that good. That one almost made me cry. So thank you, whoever that is, NB for Life. We really appreciate that. And, of course, you can also go to iTunes and rate us and review our show. This is, okay, here's the deal. We're going to try to get to, we've got 31 ratings right now. I think we've got 21 reviews. I have this goal that I want to get to 100 star ratings and like 50 reviews. Can we do that? Let's try that. Let's try for that. 100 star ratings, 50 reviews. Let's make that a goal of the Air Raid podcast right now. Because we are, more listeners are coming on. We've got listeners all around the world now. Over in London, we've got listeners in Norway, Japan, and Spain, and let me look at the map here. Yeah, a bunch of different places, man. A bunch of people checking out the show and liking what they're hearing, and we really, really appreciate it. It's just great to know that you guys are listening and liking what you're hearing, and we always love feedback. So be truthful with your review and your star rating. You know, if you don't really like the show, give us a 1-star, man. But be nice. You got to be nice about it. Don't be mean. Don't be mean. That's not what we're about here. Be a nice person. All right. Well, I think I got the plugs out of the way, right? You can also call our phone line, that drop at the beginning. Thank you, Sam, out in Wenatchee, for calling the drunk dial line at 609-232-BOOM. That's 609-232-2666, the sign of the beast. And you can call that and leave us drop us a line. Tell us what you think. Of course, Sam was talking about what I was chatting with you about in episode 57 about my fixation with the stuff on top of wheat bread. I can't stand that shit. And so that's what he was talking about. Anyway, so yeah, give us a call, and we'll put that up at the beginning of the show. Because I kind of want to get away from using the movie drops, because it's kind of hard to find something that's relevant. Anyway, we've got a great show for you guys today. Sorry, I'm kind of rambling here. I was super excited to have Visqueen on. They've got some kind of sad news, and you'll have to wait and hear what that is. But they debuted this sad news here on the Air Raid podcast. So we're privileged. I feel privileged to share with you the news coming up for Visqueen. God, they got just some great stories. Just some great stories of friendship and being in a band, playing with people like Nico Case and the Muffs. These people are well-seasoned Seattle musicians here. So what we're going to do, we are going to go to our first musical break here. We're going to play something off their album, King Me, which I believe came out in like 2002. I could be wrong. 2002. We're going to go with that. But when I first heard this album, I had this immediate obsession with Rachel Flotard's voice. And I hope you do as well. It's just straight ahead. It just pop indie music, man. I just love it. It's pop rock, basically. And it's good shit, though. It is good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoy it. This song's called Last to Know. And when we come back, we'll have Rachel Flotard and Ben Hooker of Visqueen joining me here in Dining Room Studios to tell you about their experience in the rock scene. So this is Last to Know. And we'll be right back. What's this about bunny helmets?
It's that Rachel's gonna stand up and walk out on that one right now. But it was.
Let's start with you. The first time you've seen our band. This is your life.
Straight to Easter helmets might be a little too.
Let's
so we got to start off a little bit slower.
Kiss me first,
right. Right. Okay.
Start with the music.
So the first time I saw you guys play was over in Ellensburg. I was a student at Central Washington University over there. Mm. And
a lot of learning.
I think lots of learning happening, especially during that show. Because I think one of my friends did the worm. I had never seen that done before.
Mm.
I was very impressed. You don't remember? Is this not ringing a bell?
No, I know the... Well, I mean, I was probably... Well, there was probably quite a few things going on. Well, what this, year is this?
This was when... I can't remember.
Was
but this
Kim,
is when
was Kim the
King
bass
Mead,
player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember that show.
So,
yeah.
A, I remember there were pirates.
Pirates?
Wow.
Yes. Do you remember this? There was some kind of party going on. Because Kim was asleep in the lobby, face down, of that performance. And I was...
And yawned on stage the whole time.
Yeah, I remember we got in a big fight after that. But but yeah, there were... It was. I remember because I was still smoking cigarettes, which is a horrible thing to do. And
terrible
I
habit.
Hate them. Yeah, but I was smoking at the time because it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And I went outside to have a cigarette, and all of these, like... All of these pirates were out there. I have the picture somewhere. And, there was some costume party or something going on. They all just looked like bar wenches, like wenches and swords and eye patches and date rape and all that kind of crap. And that's what I took away from that show. But if, I mean, I was probably too busy wanting to kill Kim to pay attention to this cool warmer.
There's a lot of that, actually, but.
But I mean, it was funny. There's no doubt that it was an awesome, hilarious show. I remember. I don't think there's ever been a show that. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm glorifying everything now. But usually, they're all pretty funny and redeemable. Something will come out of it. But
yeah.
In this case,
I had a great time. That was actually the first time I had heard you guys.
Now that you're saying that that's the show, and I'm seeing you. Did you talk to me that night?
Yeah, I talked to you outside. It might have been right after
the...
I
feel like it's coming back to me, I swear.
It might have been right after the pirates had passed.
You had a swashbuckler sword. No, you...
Right,
it's
right.
Seriously...
And some Rohypnol in my pocket. Yeah.
And
so
that's
when
it all went black. Because I feel like we woke up in some, like, ROTC dorm.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Oh, did you guys, like, stay the night over there or something?
Avella
what happened?
I stayed up till, like, 6 a.m.
Because you guys were like... This is a college. Where's all the ladies at, probably? Except that's actually a huge joke.
Yeah.
Because that would never, ever happen.
But no, Avella and I went to some party somewhere, which actually was really fun and out of hand. But we got back at...
I never go to those.
Yeah.
Well. Just kind of a loser. You know, getting it done.
That's kind of a sad way to start the show.
Yeah, I feel like it was. We were like in some army barracks or some kind of something.
Did the college put you up there or something?
Yeah,
I think
they
did.
They actually bought us dinner across the street at some like Vips or something like that.
What is Vips?
Vips? Maybe that's...
Are you sure it wasn't like Grant's Pizza or some shit?
Is it VIPs, but they call it Vips?
Wow, Rachel, that's amazing.
Well, I didn't know.
No, Vips. I don't know. It's just that it was an old like Denny's type chain.
Huh.
Maybe that's just maybe it's just a coastal thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So where are you guys from originally? You both here from Seattle? By the way, Rachel Flotard, Ben Hooker from Visqueen joining me here in the dining room studios. also known as the face of the fucking sun. It is so hot up here. I don't know if my I don't know if my core temperature is off or something like that, but I'm always just hot in this apartment.
I think it's quite refreshing.
It is.
Actually.
I feel
really?
Yeah, no,
it's
good.
Even though we are, you know, two stories above the street, I feel my core temperature is actually considerably cooler.
Totally. Really? That's good. That's good because I always worry about that. That's like a source of stress for me. When we have guests over, when it's been hot,
we'll knock it off.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, dude,
cool
I need
it
to
out. Just chill. Oh,
oh, hey.
You know what?
Chill. Yeah.
Very punny.
Indeed.
Okay, next topic.
You just say you guys just want to get out of here.
No,
you're
not eating
see?
The crackers.
No, we want to cover as much ground as possible.
As much ground as possible. So okay, so
wait, I want to find out what we talked about that night. Do you remember?
I can't remember. I can't
obviously
remember.
Obviously, it made an amazing impact.
I was probably like, hey, yeah, I'm in a band too.
It's
I play
cool.
guitar.
Yeah.
What kind of guitar do you play? What's your amp say on it? That was probably what I was saying to you.
Well,
you should check out my band. We're really
and
good.
I probably did.
No, you probably didn't. Ask we didn't me. Have anything. The internet was still young.
Yeah.
There was no MySpace.
That was like 06. Yeah.
That's right. Back when people were mailing each other.
Al Gore hadn't invented Facebook yet.
I know. Can you remember that? Remember that? Anyway, I know Ben still doesn't really understand the internet, so we might want to move on.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Funny to me.
So how did you guys have been a band here in Seattle for quite some time now?
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. Is there an anniversary coming up, like 10 year anniversary, or
actually the
did block it already
party,
pass?
The block party was the 10 years from our first show. We
seriously,
played the first block party,
yeah, July 14th, 2001.
Ooh, and why does Rachel remember that date?
It was
all
my
the
birthday.
Time?
Oh.
That was your birthday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I guess
Rachel was in her late 20s then.
Yeah, cast your mind. You know, it's a fine wine, Ben. You asshole. What were we saying? I just got caught up on how old and disgusting I am.
Ten years.
10 years. You guys have been a band.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet up? How did things get started?
My eyes just locked in on Ben's belt buckle in 1995.
I think it was
what
like
kind
90.
Of belt buckle?
Actually,
big
it,
Texas
it was,
symbol
it was
or something?
Like,
or
it was a Boston belt buckle, as in the band Boston wore them.
Okay.
Feeling, and I found it at a thrift store.
It was like a belt.
In Bremerton.
Yeah, it was like a belt around an Adam's apple. Like, that's what Ben looked like. He was like the skinniest. Like, he had a pompadour, and immediately it was like Dreamweaver music. Like, we were instantly the best. I mean, I hate him
like
now.
Like sparkles
so,
and
yeah.
stuff and lens flares.
Yeah. My boyfriend at the time owned a music shop in Fremont, and he was conspiring with a friend of his to have me check out his wife's band. They were looking for another guitar player, and I just left my band, Skookum Chuck. You may have heard of us. We were massive. We played Longview. And I was really bummed out. Just
wait,
like,
Longview Washington,
Washington,
or the Green Day song?
Well, the same. It's the same.
Oh, okay.
Just a little factoid there. So I went to this show to see this band, Half a Cat, at the Color Box, which, you know, a few months later would be like a foot deep in feces and closed.
Yeah.
Probably a year or so after that. Anyway, I went and Ben was standing outside. I think with one or two of them,
yep.
Or I don't know if it was before or after. I don't know if I saw you play first. I think I might have seen you play first.
Yeah,
you guys were
we
playing
talked afterwards.
And it, I mean, I walked in and I was like, "Whoa, I'll never be able to be that good," which just shows you how shitty I was. No, but I was just like, there are three girls up front and they can stand and play guitar, which was an amazing feat of strength for me.
Did you always have trouble doing that?
No,
like,
I would just
when you first started.
Well, when you first start playing guitar, just even getting your fingers to go where they
oh,
want to
yeah.
go.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
But I, you know, I it's kind of a joke, but still, I was not. I mean, Yngwie, I had no danger.
Yeah, but okay. The first practice where Rachel and I played music together was in my basement. In the tiniest room in the world, where there was five people playing with two half stacks and an SVT and a drum kit, and the room was
so just like ear bleeding.
Ben built a room within a room in his basement.
10 feet. It was tiny, and we barely fit in it. So you're playing in a closet as loud as you can.
Oh yeah,
trying with mics.
Rachel showed up, and she had a snake skin covered cabinet. Like a 412 cabinet that was covered in snakeskin.
Nice.
And but the thing is, the second, just and this is kind of just touching on her saying how she felt so like awkward on stage and stuff. The second Rachel and I started playing music together, it's like I couldn't stop watching her because she fully owned it. Like she was just like standing there and like rocking out, not like hamming it up, but just like, "Hi, I'm fucking Rachel and I play guitar." And I just remember being like, "Hell yes!" And that point, I remember that point, and it was awesome.
I'm gonna start crying. Yeah. I haven't felt like that. That's so sweet of you to say.
She had this like great stance, and she had this Gibson RD artist. Was that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sounded good. She just played tough, and she was just this fucking tough chick.
Yeah,
which
you owned it. You owned it.
She did.
Well, I was really scared.
Yeah.
Because it was I was trying out for this band. So basically, after I met Ben at the Color Box, you know, we exchanged phone numbers, the band and myself, and
we met in Pioneer Square.
Yeah, basically. You know, so I went over to Port Orchard where they practiced. And
oh, you were already on the Kitsap Peninsula.
Yeah, they all lived in Kitsap.
Okay, okay.
And so Rachel sat in the West Seattle ferry line twice a week to come over to practice.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really not fun.
Did you guys ever take a?
Well,
take,
I would eat like 35 packs of Red Vine and boat sushi, and then like get to practice and just pretty much let them rip. Yeah. And Ben would be choking on my farts.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because I wasn't going to.
I just figured I'd own it before.
Like, yeah, you just get it out there. You just put
that,
it out
those
there.
Were insanely, like, I mean, that feels like freshman year of high school to me.
Yeah.
When I think, you know, I mean, it was just, it was, I look back on it now as almost a 40-year-old woman. I just turned 39 last week and it's.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Or not last week. When the hell was my...
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
But it's just... It feels like an amazing time. So much has happened.
Right, right. And you guys have stayed together through for 10 years. It's pretty amazing.
Well, no. Visky's
like for any,
been a band
for, any
for
band.
10 years.
Yeah, we were in a band
together.
Together
like 14 years. Because we were in that
band
for several years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is even before 2001 when
yeah.
Visqueen actually
formed.
Yeah,
it was like 97. Oh, okay. Or six, or I can't remember.
I moved here in 95.
Pretty
and
much
I,
Rachel saw singles and moved here.
Yeah, so. I was like, na, 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 later I'm out of here, Jersey, bye. That's kind of not how it happened, but it's kind of not how it happened. but yeah, thinking about those times and sitting on the ferry, and I mean, we did so much. I mean, I remember how excited we were when we got Half a Cat had their first show at the Crocodile. I remember.
Wait, was that your first? That was the first show?
No, the first show was in Bremerton, pretty much because we in Bremerton we were Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And we're on like this one block area of Bremerton. We played at this place, and it was Rachel's first show. So all these people were standing there like,
"Okay, let's see what you got, you big jerk off."
And I remember Rachel was. Crappy, and she was so nervous. And I looked at her and I said, because we always would quote 16 Candles in the movie. And I looked at her and I said, "It's going to be a piece of cake, Bren." And I snapped my fingers, which is anyone in the know would know that quote. So I looked at her, I said that. She started laughing. She got on stage. And I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I think every time, I mean, we've played some from that night, you know. Over a decade, there have been moments where I've turned around and it's been like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, it almost brings me to tears because there have been so many moments where I'm like, I can't hear anything out of this. And we're playing some, I mean, we played with X at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco.
Wow.
And it was trial by fire. I mean, opening up for X. X fans want to see X, and they completely and totally embraced us. I mean, it was like our biggest merch sales night of the entire tour.
Yeah, X. There's some bands who you open for, and they are angry that you're in the way.
Oh yeah,
and then there's some bands, and X was one that we played with them three times, and we always did. Their fans dug us. But yeah, Rachel couldn't hear anything at night. I broke my kick pedal during sound check, and then DJ let me borrow his kick pedal, which I broke.
Right, he broke.
Oh no!
And there was like a screaming, shrilling bird sound coming out of my mom. These are the things that you ride in the van for, you know, like 13, 14 hours, thinking about your nerves are built up. It's like you're shot. You know, at some,
and you're thinking the whole time too is like, well, what's going to go wrong tonight?
Right.
Or like,
well, I mean, there have been plenty of times. oh God, I feel so different now. I mean, at things at the time that I thought were so
important
and like defining and all, like
what? What did you, when you guys started out, what was the important thing?
I used to get really like irritated at technical difficulties, you know, like as soon as I started singing in a band more, I would, you know, there's nothing lamer than screaming into a microphone and no one hearing you.
Right.
You know,
right,
those
feel,
I would never like out. I mean, I don't think I've ever once really like lost my marbles up there ever. I mean, it's like the we've always conducted ourselves like, you know, we play the way we play, whether there's one person in the room or there's 1,000 and you deal with it. It's
right,
like
right.
You put on, you do your thing.
Sometimes when it's so bad, you almost just laugh.
I have
just
to.
Like whatever.
We played at South by Southwest 1 year, literally it was like my face was on fire. I was like,
Wait, did you get shocked or something?
David Fricke from Rolling Stone is there to see our set. He's standing right in front of me. And I'm like, you can see lightning like shooting off of the mic.
Well, you were getting the arc.
Well, the guy, the sound guy was completely intoxicated.
So
I'm trying to communicate with this gentleman, letting him know that I have no facial hair left, which is a good thing.
You're
like,
getting a free electrolysis.
Yeah, free electrolysis.
That microphone had a lot of work
yeah,
to do.
It was a serious Black & Decker moment for that thing.
Oh, my God.
But really, moments like that where you're like, this is going to like this, you know, whatever is riding on a performance or, you know, early on, like this person's coming to see us or.
It's all
a part of the fun of like, you know, trying to navigate through your quote unquote band's career or whatever you think can get you. I mean, the goal was always, I think, to be a touring band or to keep going. And so many things got in that way. So many things got in the way of that for me, whether it's life or, you know, responsibilities at home, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think more now than ever, I don't sweat the small stuff or the like, or even the big explosions that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny how that happens over the course of playing music for so long.
Mm-hmm. You think that happens to a lot of people just over time? I mean,
look at bands that, I mean, look at X.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Cheap Trick. Look at, you know.
I think you definitely, like, bands who have been around a long time, which is one thing you see, like, how other bands that have been around a long time deal with things.
Right, right.
And they let stuff kind of roll off them and they just kind of go on.
Yeah.
And it's once you finally kind of get to that point where you realize, like, okay, there's nothing we can do about this. If we're up here and we're just whiny and complain about stuff,
you're going to be remembered for that too, right?
Like, anytime I see a band like that, and it's usually, well, I don't know, I won't say that, but it's when you do see that in a band, you just, it pisses you off. You're like, quit complaining. Just like,
do your thing.
So getting to the point where you can just accept it and just have fun with it. And if it means just laughing it off and being like, fuck it.
That's one thing.
Sound like shit. Tomorrow's another day.
Totally.
Right, right.
Like, I think what we have had in spades is the ability to laugh our heads off and make a joke out of just about anything to almost a fault.
Right.
To almost making it so jokey that no one takes it seriously.
Like your emails.
Kind of, yeah. But it's more, you know, it's like, it's exhausting taking yourself so seriously. And especially in music. And especially, it's just such a bizarre, I mean, the business part of it is just so bizarre.
Right,
and,
right.
You know.
What do you mean by bizarre?
Just bizarre in that it's how different it is, the business side of making a band run to actually the music side of making the band run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my musical side suffers from doing the business side, but that is like the story of a working artist in 2011. It's like you have to do everything and you should be.
Right.
But at
right.
the same time, it really slows down the songwriting process.
Oh, I can see that. I mean, you can spend just with, you know, doing this show. It's like you can spend hours and hours and hours just doing Facebook messages and sending emails to get, you know, guests on the show and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, I totally understand.
Ben and I have been a great team too. He's been a protector of me for this whole time also. Mm-hmm. And as far as like getting
almost to the point where I know it. Rachel.
Yeah, almost to the point where it's like, get away.
Are you just kind of the voice of reason on tour then?
Well,
is that what's... Is,
I think I he's definitely a good like barometer for how nuts I'm getting for if I need to like check in with, you know, something. But he's also a giant pain in my ass. But in the best way. Like,
he's nodding
right now. I would never
right
trade it for
only
anything.
Sometimes on purpose.
But it's all, it's like, you know, everything underneath that is true love. So it's like, when we go out on tour, I mean, Ben has gotten us to places and done some of the hairiest drives and like climbed underneath our van and done things to get us from point A to point B that are completely impossible for me to do.
Uh-huh.
I chain myself to a computer or a phone to try and make the destination a little bit
which is impossible for me
better.
To do.
Right, which is impossible for him to do. But it also, like, each one of those things makes us a little bit crazy, but we, we're kind of the perfect storm in that way, even though it's not that perfect. Nothing is. But it's still, like, you know, that's why we were, you know, really good at doing those things is because we each let each other do what we were good at.
Right,
you know?
Right. And that's why you've lasted so long in a band with each other. Which,
or just even as friends with each other.
Right, right.
Regardless of, you know, we'll go on to do lots of other things, you know, in our lives, you know, musically and otherwise, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, you know, we've always been able to work really well together.
Yeah. That's a great. And so this is a good spot to go to our first musical break. What should we play here? Something off the newest album?
Well, the new album's 2 years old. So take your pick. And you know what? Just fire away. Anything you want to do.
Let's do what you pick.
First song we ever wrote was Sailor.
Yeah.
That was the first song?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. We were just a two-piece at the time. Four two-piece bands were cool. And, pretty much why we were bummed out that our last band dissolved. We wrote
that song and then started the band, essentially. Yep. That's so funny. I'm writing a little thing, and that's like one of the lines in it. You're so weird. Anyway, sorry.
So this is off King Me,
mm-hmm.
right? And what year did King Me come out?
2002.
Okay. So this was that your first full length?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. So this is Sailor by Visqueen off of King Me. And we'll be right back with more from Rachel Flotard and Ben Hooker of this great band. So glad to have you guys here.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
You still gotta brave, stand on your own.
Are you serious already? Nice. Good for you. Good for you. That's what they're there for. All right, that was Sailor by Vis Queen off of the album King Me. And you can go and get that on iTunes and at your guys' website, correct?
Yeah, which we'll send you to iTunes.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So when we left, we were kind of talking about how you guys were, you know, you've stayed together for 10 years, which you just had your 10-year reunion, or not reunion, anniversary.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's my core temperature. It's frying my brain right now. So you guys just had your 10-year anniversary. I was going to say reunion once again. And you've stuck through it. You've stayed friends, which is not normal for people who've been in a band that long. Like, do you guys hang out outside of band practice?
Absolutely. Come on, you liar.
No, yeah, of course.
We have lunch all the time.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah?
No.
See, that amazes me. That amazes me.
I text Rachel. She's the only one. The weird thing is when I'm hanging out with Rachel and I get a text, I'm like, who is this? Because the only person that ever texts me is Rachel Flotard. So it's always kind of, I get, ooh, wow, I have another friend.
Someone's calling me.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, it's a bond.
Yeah, yeah. But you've had a number of different musicians that have played with you guys over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God.
Bass players or like bass players and
mm-hmm.
Mostly just bass players. There's only been a few times that we've been more than a three piece.
Yeah.
And
like what? Keyboard and another guitar?
Yeah,
or
we've added we added for the last record, I mean a couple of times Ty Bailey would
five
come in.
Piece for
yeah, we
a
added
bit.
Strings.
Yeah,
and our friend Barb Hunter.
Would you play live with?
Oh yeah,
string section.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
just a cellist, Barb Hunter.
Oh cool, cool.
Who is I play with in Cobirds Unite, another band I have. She's awesome. She came on to Biz Queen and went on tours with us, and just a lot of fun. It was just. It was nice to have
a nice addition.
Like a bowed electric instrument was so fun to have when
right,
you didn't
yeah.
have two guitar players.
Well, and it adds so much in the background too. It's
yeah.
like, you know,
totally.
Just that constant, it's almost like a drone sometimes.
And she's so spot on. She's it's ridiculous how proficient she is at her
right,
instrument
right.
that it just made we all are just like,
yeah, when
sorry.
She played on the, Rachel asked her to play on the record.
Yeah.
And she showed up with sheet music.
Yeah, she really
like she
charts.
Listened to stuff and like wrote out all the sheet music and we're like, whoa.
Yeah,
right,
it was basically
right.
like in calligraphy on parchment. I was like
she put on her powdered wig and
yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
But it was pretty amazing. But yeah, the first bassist was Kim Ornick, who we did King Me and Sunset on Dateland with.
Right.
And Kim's
right.
legendary bassist, awesome Seattleite, been in the Fastbacks for 25 years. They just reunited.
Yeah.
And played in West Seattle, I think somewhere.
I saw that.
I
saw
it.
I
think it's
somewhere.
It was.
It's
it happened.
30 years. No.
They are 30
they
years?
They started in the late 70s and it's...
Wow.
With Kurt Block, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kurt Block also mixed our last record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he mixed Message to Garcia.
Nice.
And mastered it. He's the best.
Yeah.
So Kim was our bass player for quite a long time, and man, did we have some good. We had some good nuggets.
Yeah.
We had some fun. Yeah. It was hilarious, and we went on a couple of tours. And Kim's one of the funniest people on planet Earth. Truly, her sense of humor was. I mean,
it was a good fit.
It was a hilarious fit. We had a great time. And then,
Tempers ever flare? Because at the beginning of the show,
well,
we were
Kim hates
about this.
Confrontation.
Oh yeah.
So she would do something totally fucked, and then one of us would get mad. But the thing with Kim and is like, you can't stay mad or really get mad because there's some like
just
totally
super, like,
bananas reason
apologetic about it.
Yeah.
Or
well,
what?
it was like she would do something like. I don't know. It was more like a teenager that you were trying to like not have a party in your house while you were gone.
Yeah,
that's
serious.
The stuff.
Right,
that
right.
There was never any, you know, I mean, it was really kind of like managing a teenager who, and and at the same time,
that was
I mean, it was funny and fun, but of course, sometimes when you're just like, you know, that, I mean, we all have our frustrations, but really, it was too funny to ever, like, I wanted to strangle her. Ben fully wanted to strangle her.
Oh, I did a couple.
Like, there's one, the story where I had flown out to New York and we were playing CMJ and Ben and Kim flew out after me.
Uh-huh.
And Kim had her bass. Ben had a huge cymbal bag that he had on his back, and they both flew and got out at JFK and then had to take probably a shuttle to the subway. And Kim is like,
I'm carrying my cymbals, my snare, a bag that has miscellaneous hardware pieces.
Yeah.
And Kim's bass because she couldn't carry it.
Like, Kim was like, oh, I just can't do it.
Yeah. So I'm carrying everything. And next thing I know, I stop and look a block behind, and she's eating a kebab.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, that story is pretty much like perfect.
Didn't offer me one.
Yeah. No, she was just like, can you believe how good this is? Yeah. Ben's just like, ready to kill her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, it's stuff like that where she's oblivious to, but I wouldn't change a thing about that, you know, at all.
Yeah.
But she just needed to take a break from music and from playing and from touring and from everything for a little while.
Yeah, right before she left, we were about to embark on our largest tour ever, which was 2.5 months. And
wow, that's a long time.
It was a great tour.
U.S. tour or European?
Yeah, U.S. times like 3.
Oh wow,
we toured. Okay. We were like, Case. Yeah,
we played with Nico Case, The Muffs, and Shota Knife.
Yeah,
like we just did not come home.
It was like, oh, Chicago again, number 4. You know, it was really cool. But I remember coming home and I don't think I've bathed the same since that tour. So.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? So you don't bathe anymore?
It totally changed my personal hygiene. Like
now you scrub yourself with a rock?
Now
like
I
you're
just
in
have
Gattaca?
Like sponge baths. And, okay. You know, I do laundry in the sink with Woolite. And, you know, just stuff like that.
You put toilet paper on the seat.
You brush your teeth with your finger?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was a great tour, but Kim, as like dates were coming in, she was... You can tell her brain
getting
was
a little
like,
squirrely.
Right.
Do not want to do this.
Yeah.
So we had a clutch player, savior moment. Ronnie Barnett from the Muffs was coming up to visit, or there was something. He was coming up for the weekend, and
we had three shows. One was a sold out show at the Showbox with the Presidents. And I think that was the first one. Ronnie just happened to be coming
up. He played
up.
Bellingham. The 3B was the first one.
The Bellingham, yeah. That's right. We had like 2 or 3 shows, big shows.
Uh-huh.
And before Kim was going to finish out the shows and then kind of said she didn't want to. So Ronnie was coming up to visit. We're like, hey, you want to play bass while you're up here? And he learned the songs, had them written out on notebook paper on the monitors and, you know, would flip.
Right.
And Rachel, in her famous... Rachel does these famous moves where she'll, like, skip around on the set list.
Uh-huh.
And... Which she did that night.
I don't
and
even Ronnie's
like, And Ronnie had them all in
well,
order.
He had them in order of the set list. And she's, like, flipping around, like... And he's like, what?
Yeah.
I remember getting, like... I mean, people were throwing full beers on it. Like, it was when the 3B was... have you ever been up to 3B? It was, like, in full swing. Yeah. It was sold out. And Ronnie just killed it. And then we were like, can you go on tour with us for 2 months? And he said yes. Yeah. And
amazing.
Kim is funny. Ronnie.
Yeah.
Maybe funnier.
Pretty much if you've ever been in the band Viz Queen for any amount of time.
So wait a minute.
You have to have a sense.
You have to have a sense of humor. You're not going to make it, right?
Yeah. It was like, it was funny over function. Every time.
Wow, they really can't play, but God, are they?
But boy, are they fun to be around. Like, Ronnie,
Ronnie could do both.
Ronnie I'll still get texts from Ronnie that will, like, I will fall off a chair, you know, from something that happened 5 years ago.
Right.
So he was in Viz Queen for quite a while. And then when we were.
Was that the first time, like, you were, like, surrounded by 2 dudes in Viz Queen?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to ask you guys, like, what it's like first for you, Ben, going on tour with two ladies in the band.
Oh my God. Awesome.
Are you holding in
Kim
farts?
Kim and I really don't qualify. No. Are you kidding?
No.
No, you're just all farting.
Yeah.
It's courtesy, a fart fest in that van.
Well, you know, like pleasantries aside.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that if anyone was in the van.
I just thought of the time where we, Ben, like, had to go take a
God.
Number twice in the.
This is
a
like
number dose.
This is like this 6 a.m. Like, we're in our hotel. Everyone's asleep. Yeah. I wake up. I'm like, man.
But what's so great is that, like.
And so everyone else. Let me tell this story. Okay. So everyone else would wear, like Ronnie had, like, 14 layers he put on before he got into bed. And uh-huh. Rachel
and
had.
And a fan strapped to the bed. Like, yeah. He had to have white noise at all times.
Oh, yeah.
And so Rachel, I don't remember what
I had.
Rachel
I always wore, like, a bandana tied around my eyes and, like, 35 earplugs.
Are you serious?
And then Avel, mm-hmm. who was our traveling helper, he always wore like these old man pajamas, like buttoned all the way up, you
right?
Know?
With the then, with the pants and the,
yeah,
and the long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And
then I would be like right in front of everyone. I'd pretty much take all my clothes off and just get into bed.
But I never saw that because I was I had my blinders on.
So one morning,
so you
I
have to
up,
day, you have to go
I,
take
I go
a
to the
deuce.
Bathroom,
yeah.
So of course I'm sitting on the toilet. I have like boxers around my ankles, right? So I'm pretty much naked in the bathroom. Fan going, lights on, like lots of things that say, hey, somebody in here. Ronnie walks in on me, and I don't think he's been the same since. Like, it scared the crap out
of me. It was
out.
Like seeing, like, I.
What did he just say?
Oh, yeah,
did he just, like,
Rachel,
scream
Rachel
out
said
in
it
terror?
Was like,
what?
It was like an E.T. when E.T.'s in the river. And, like, she's like, that's pretty much what it was like.
And he's like, ah. When he's just like all spindly and white, and Ronnie just like, just knowing Ronnie and he is a 7 foot tall Woody Allen. That's like his deal. So his neuroses were probably like flying in full gear, and then to open up
and
see Ben like sitting on the toilet, which I can imagine your knees are at eye level. Like that's how I. I'm sorry for your listeners. This is probably you had to be there.
No,
jam.
This is good. This is good stuff right here. This
yeah,
is
it's
good
prime
stuff.
Time. Real good.
So how's it? So, I mean, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun on tour. So is it always just candy canes and?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And snowballs.
No one ever
of the
fights or cries.
Variety.
No one ever misses their family.
Oh,
oh
so
never.
Good.
Never.
I mean, both of us have been on tour at like super painful times in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean.
Like what?
Well, I remember leaving for tour about a week after I found out that my dad, who I live with, I took him to the dentist and they said, Miss Flotard, we're going to have his teeth extracted. I'm like, well, how many? They're like, well, all of them. And I was like, okay. And so I was preparing.
Was it cancer?
Yeah. He died of prostate cancer about 3 years ago. But this is, he moved out and lived with me starting in 2002. So right around when King Me came out. But
sorry to hear about that.
Thank you. But I remember leaving and my sister took him. And I mean, like for me to leave during, remember that? We were in Detroit and I got on the phone and I was like, he had just come out of surgery. And I'm like, are you okay? And it was like, he couldn't even, he was like, whoa, whoa, like gauze stuffed in his mouth.
Oh my God.
And when I was going to come home, I was going to see this face that looked like, you know what it looks like when like you have no fucking teeth.
Yeah.
So I was just like, prepared. I knew what was on the other side for me. It was like putting steaks in a blender. You know, but we all, I mean, thank God I was out there, you know, at those moments or like Ben walking out of the effing laundromat I think that same day wearing like a Speedo. Do you remember that? That was like the grossest.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago?
It was in Detroit.
Oh, in Detroit.
I packed. My suitcase was tiny. It was like the size of that laptop.
Right.
It was
right.
Like a briefcase.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I go on a trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Have nothing.
Right.
And so like when I go to do laundry, I'd pretty much put on like a pair of shorts with no underwear, gross, or anything.
Yeah.
And pretty much wash every, you know, flip-flops and a pair of shorts and a sweatshirt half zipped up with no shirt on underneath.
Yeah,
it was kind of
like
Fletch. It looked like Fletch when he was living on the beach.
Yeah, and like October. So he comes like strolling out of this like mirrored windowed laundromat of some kind, and I'm just like,
with, you know, like the windows are all scratched really bad, you know, from people.
Yeah, I mean, it's those mental images that get you through.
That really
yeah,
says,
yeah.
Just I love Ben Hooker.
Sure. I mean, that
pick up your
fun.
Day. Yeah.
But totally. Yeah, no, it's of course it's hard. I think that 2.5 month stretch was tough on Ben and tough on all of us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know,
wouldn't trade it.
Yeah, yeah. I will definitely think about those times later in my life as funny, as definitely just fun and funny.
Yeah, yeah.
When at the time I was probably like, I want to go home. I want to go home.
Now, Ben, do you have a family as well?
I do now. Yeah, I have a two-year-old and a.
You do?
Yeah, and a dog.
Cat?
Married.
You got a cat?
No cats. My neighbor has two cats, and they kind
of
live in our house sometimes, so kind of like I have a cat.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Cats.
Yeah, I wouldn't own a cat.
We had two
Rachel,
cats here.
Rachel's got a cat in traction right now.
I do. My cat broke its pelvis. Do you know how much a fucking cat pelvis goes for these days? About $1,000. To do nothing.
Jesus.
To let it heal. To take some blood. Do a quick scan.
Is it in one of those things? The
no, it doesn't have a thing on it.
Yeah, it's got one of those carts.
Yeah.
The little
carts?
Yeah. No, it's in a dog carrier in my office.
Oh, it's not moving at all.
Well, it can move. It just has to stay in a very confined area or else it won't heal. So it's trapped in this little flight case for...
Anything, so it's like,
no.
Basically, by keeping it, you're not letting it get out and run around.
Right. The second it starts to go like Morris on everyone, it just...
Wait.
It doesn't...
Oh,
Morris?
Do you know Morris the cat?
Morris the cat from the commercials. Meow, 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 meow.
That's
meow.
Probably before your time.
Oh, okay.
Before
no, that's,
everyone's time.
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay.
Babe in the Woods.
No, but that's the Meow Mix cat.
Yeah.
Morris. See, I don't know that. I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, it does.
I didn't watch as much TV as you guys.
No.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
We're of the seven.
I was out finding pornography in the woods in Kitsap County.
I found that, too. I think everyone found porn in the woods.
It's always like out in the middle of the woods, and you'd find a stack and be like, how the heck did this get? Or later on in your life,
paper
bag.
Later on in life, you're throwing a stack of pornography into the woods, and you're like, there it is. That's how it happens.
Oh, I'm not laughing.
A stack of Club International.
Yeah, I'm not laughing because I'm guilty. Let's make that perfectly clear.
So is it harder now that you guys have families to go on tour?
Yes.
It's got to be,
I
right?
I didn't go on the last tour because of that reason.
So is it just Rachel by herself?
Pretty much.
Ooh.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Work without Ben there?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So wait, you had a fill-in drummer.
I did. I had Barrett.
A certain guy who just released a whole bunch of...
Oh, he did. Barrett Martin from the Screaming Trees.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We went out for a whole Midwest East Coast tour in last year.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not the same for me
mm-hmm.
to not have Ben.
Yeah.
And... just, you know, it's like Weekend at Bernie's. I'm like, I don't want to drag this fucking body around. This isn't funny anymore. That's seriously what it feels like. I'm like, look at Bernie. He's a lot. You know, it just doesn't work. So we're definitely changing our plans this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ben's going to go back out on tour.
Actually, I have a kick drum that goes on my back.
Yeah, he beats it.
My knees.
Yeah,
he walks up and down Aurora.
Like Mary Poppins. I wish somebody would walk up and down Aurora doing that instead of all the
don't
prostitutes that we have.
Don't plant anything in his
this
mind.
That's
going to
be
a
new hipster thing. One
yeah,
man bands.
One man.
Oh,
oh
yeah. Oh,
they're already. I mean, it's called like
it.
One of those loop.
Well,
machines.
Now they have. Oh, yeah. Now they have the. You know, they're twirling their mustaches. I mean, that's only
riding bicycles with a giant wheel in the front and a baby wheel in the back. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, lifting weights with like big ball bars.
Yeah, totally. In a onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no other way.
So what have you guys got coming up with?
Well, should we tell them?
Yeah, tell me.
So we have two We're going to announce two last Visqueen Seattle shows in November.
You're breaking up.
No, we're not calling it that because that sounds too... Like, I'm writing this little opus to our... We have not told a soul.
Uh-huh. Except for now.
Except for now, really. But what we're... Since this is like... I want the last couple shows, since I don't want to tour without Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of things in life that are more important, you know? And this is just... This was such a great period of time in our lives. I want it to feel like the end of... And correct me if I'm wrong. Like like the end of Cannonball Run.
I've never seen that movie.
Okay, you're an asshole.
I've never seen
or,
it either.
Okay. Or the end, like Grease, like you fly off into the sky, or or the end, like anything with like a bloopers reel at the end. You know, something
like
that,
Meatballs.
Yeah, something that resolves itself in a great way where everyone, you know, gets to just celebrate what a cool thing it was, you know, instead of a funeral of some kind.
Right,
because
right.
We're both very active people and active musicians to a point, you know, but I, you know, for me to drive around, and call it Visqueen and not have Ben with me, it's, and I feel, and Ben left that decision pretty much to me.
Uh-huh.
But it just like, it isn't funny. It's not funny, even though it's fun. I mean, we have a great Christina Bautista plays bass with us, and she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Bar play, like it's certainly not a lack of having a great time. It's just like when you're constantly like combing the map for a tour or trying to plan something or figuring it out. It's just like it's just too much when there's family responsibilities.
Right,
and
right.
Plus, you just get. You just want to start a new chapter of some kind.
Yeah. Do you think you'll keep on doing music or?
I think we both will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether we, you know, play together or whether, you know, there's no question. I mean,
Rachel and I always joke about, and I don't know if it's a joke because it's not that. Well, no, I mean, we'll be playing the Red Lion in SeaTac. And
yeah. Like, ask us. I mean, that's what's going to be so funny is like, you know, in 10 years, maybe there's. You know, once his son is old enough to hate him and he wants to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or once his...
Rachel, get me out of here.
Yeah. Or once I hire his kid to be my new drummer. Yeah. It'll all be different. But, you know, but right now, it just, you know, we made three awesome records over 300 years. And you know, it's just feels like... leaving it at Message to Garcia for now and thanking the hell out of everyone that has, you know, been so good to me and Ben and
all of
our friends over the years. Just feels, it feels more right than trying to push something that doesn't just organically go. A big part of being in the band was being in the van. And, you know, you can't just repeat that with, you know, when it's not, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Maybe cut me off.
So, well, man, I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm shocked and surprised. I guess those both mean the same thing.
But it's really a good thing.
No. Yeah.
You know, it's like we have to think. I mean, of course it's sad. Of course. I mean, I think about it. I'm like, what? You know, but it just makes sense. Nothing in life itself does not last forever.
Right.
And that's a big lesson as you get older and start growing up. And I mean, I'm just learning those things in my life. Like, I feel like such a moron. So many moments of the day when something dawns on me, like, oh, yeah, okay, this is life. I get it. This hurts or this feels good. But,
right, right.
You know, it just, this makes sense. And as sad as it is, I just want to try and make it as cool and as memorable. And I will never, ever think of this band in any other way but with total love. And
right, right.
And
yeah, totally.
And it's been our life.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it has kept us together for so long and still will, you know. People still, we still sell records all the time. Like, mm-hmm. it's, hopefully it'll take on a life of its own some other way. But
yeah, yeah. Well, it'll always be out there, too. You got the internet.
Oh, God bless it.
God bless it.
And so how old are your children now?
Or do you have zero and zero.
Oh, I thought you were a mom.
No, my boyfriend has a 5-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I do not have any biological children myself.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I misread.
I do have a chin hair, earlier. If you'd like to talk about that. You know what? It's never too late for me. This could be my year to get knocked up.
There you go. There you go. You're not going to go on tour?
I'm going to start breeding bandmates.
There you go.
Get out of there and get in the van, you little turd.
You could be like the Trachtenberg family or whoever does
Yeah,
the
their daughter's name is
show.
Rachel.
There you go.
And she's
done.
She's like 19 now.
Is she really?
She's got to be.
I mean, yeah, I guess that was... I mean, it seems to me like it was
I think
10
I saw
years ago
her
that
walking,
they moved away.
Yeah, I thought I saw her walking at South by Southwest. She's a stunningly beautiful girl.
Is she still drumming?
Yeah. I mean, she's like, imagine how cool that girl is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, please.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I want my daughter to become a drummer.
So
because
she
it
won't.
Seems... What's that? So she won't. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's the thing.
You can't push
it. I'm pushing with my son football, baseball, basketball.
You're like, make me rich.
Screw you, Dad. I'm going to play guitar in a punk rock band. I'll be not in my house. Oh, by the way, here's some Ramones records. And
yeah.
Oh, but no, don't do that.
I think Eli's going to be a major sports.
He is.
He's just like.
He's a huge sports nut. And of course he is because I wasn't.
There you go.
But he's only two. Well.
He is two. And he's better than I was at any sport.
Already. Yeah.
And he's like the sweetest little nugget of all time. I mean, he looks like someone shot Ben with a shrink ray and turned him into like this little blonde. But he's just like, what a sweet little boy. And it's so weird to see your friend like make another person.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, and
totally.
It's really, I mean, Ben is, I've never seen him more in love in, you know, as long as I've known him. And It's a great thing.
See, I don't know if my friends feel the same way about my daughter, because we've got a 3-month-old.
Oh, well, congratulations!
Thank you.
Where's
she's sleeping?
What?
Good for you.
Roll her old bones out here.
Wow,
we'll do it. We'll do it when we go off air. But yeah, she's you know, I don't know if my friends
now,
feel that
you
way.
Have,
about
do you have friends who have kids?
Many not many. Friends who have kids? Not many. We're starting. See, once you have a kid, then you go out and you meet. Friends with kids.
Yeah.
That's what you do, right? That's what everybody does.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, you, because all of a sudden you have something in common that you didn't before. That's
right,
a weird
screaming
thing.
And crying and
wanting
how tired are you right now?
It's like someone that you'd see in a grocery store that you never would even say hi to.
Right.
All of a sudden they have a kid and you're like, best friends. Oh my God, you have a 3 month. Oh, cool. What are they doing? Oh my God.
They just shit their pants. Yay!
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden you're in this like club.
Yeah, yeah, you
like,
really are, yeah.
It's a bizarre thing. And it's not like before you have a kid, you're annoyed by that because you think, oh, my God, people are going to want to talk to me about my kids.
Right. Or the,
but then once you have a kid and you're like in a grocery store and you see someone else with a 3-month-old, you're like, what's up? Pretty cool, right? Sweet. Bananas are on sale. You know, and it's like, then that's it.
And I bought you a diaper bag to match your crappiest pants.
And that
is it made out of jeans?
Still, no.
I wore, I don't know how much time we have, but I wore the same
all the time
pair
in the world,
pants.
Man.
So I realized after touring that jeans were a bad choice to wear.
Yeah.
Because I got extremely sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
Like drenched pretty much from head to kneecap.
Please tell me you got some like tearaway track pants or something like
no,
that.
No. So I realized.
Much more lo-fi than that.
Yeah.
Like Mike Brady lo-fi.
You could buy these like Wrangler polyester pants.
Oh, no.
And they dry in like a half hour. Yeah. So I'd have like one pair I'd wear on the whole tour.
Brown.
And people in brown. Yeah. And
Rachel.
Ram. So, like, Kim from the Muffs would call and be like, how's Ben's pants? Ben wearing brown pants right now? Because I wore them every
and
single.
And they were not his originally, so they were hemmed too high. Those weren't new, were they?
No, they were used.
Yeah. No. Used pants.
On, buy them at Goodwill. Yeah.
But the hem, so it was like the floods. It was like they were a little too high above
his
ankle.
That's how I like it.
Right. So he just
why wear socks that are different colors if people can't see them? That's true.
Yeah.
You nailed
yeah.
that one.
Good call, man.
Yeah, good thinking. But yeah, he was, I mean, you sweated out and then were instantly dry, yeah. you know, he was high and dry after
Did
that.
You ever, like, you ever go outside and you just, like, you know, shake them a little bit, get the airflow going
no,
through
I mean,
or
it,
anything
it was
like that?
Just amazing how quick they dried. But then it was like...
that's, you know, that's the fabric.
Yeah, I know. See, before...
That's the rayon.
When this first became a problem, I talked to Cody Willis, and I said, because he would get the same way when he would...
Yeah.
Chafe.
When he would draw, I mean, get super sweaty. I'm like, dude, what the hell do you do on tour? And he's like, you wear the same thing every night. And I tried that for like 4 or 5 days. Like, I had a bag of clothes.
Oh, that
I
shit wore. Must have just
it
reeked, man.
Was, I think I threw the clothes away after like day four. I was like,
yeah.
Cody, I'm a gross dude. And you just wore one.
But he has smaller clothes.
Yeah, there's less water. Less water. Evaporated a lot quicker.
Oh, man. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming out, and I'm sad to hear that things are coming to an end, but hopefully
no, they're
it will
coming
be,
to an, it's a rebirth.
They
rebirth.
Will, they're coming to a point
of celebration.
Of celebration. Mm-hmm. Good. Well said.
That's
well
what
said.
It is. It's a point of celebration.
You know what you guys should do is you should play these shows with all of the bass players.
That we've thought about that,
and then we were like, that? "Hell
and
no!"
Then we'd go, it's like
we'd actually like to have a good time.
Yeah.
but we they will all be there, hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. We're gonna fly in Don Ho, everybody that needs to be around.
Yeah.
Get them, get
nice.
Everybody in the house.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we will be announcing those later in the month.
Excellent, and we can find out about that on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And on your,
once we update all that stuff. Yeah, of course we will.
Excellent, excellent. For well, sure. Please let us know because I will definitely be there.
Well, thank you for having us.
Oh, it's been
really
a
cool.
lot of fun talking with you guys, and hopefully we can get you back on again.
Yep.
Sometime in the future.
For sure.
And just shoot the shit.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. All right, well, there you have it, everybody. That was Ben Hooker and Rachel Flotard from the wonderful band that is sadly coming to a extended hiatus here pretty soon. This the song that you're hearing right now is called Fight for Love, off of their latest album that came out a couple years ago, apparently, called Message to Garcia. So, yeah, we just wanted to thank them for years of oral. How do you say that? It's not oral because it's not in your mouth. Oral. Oral pleasure? Years of oral pleasure from this queen. You know, it's been, they've had a great run. And it sounds like just a ton of fun. They've met tons of great people, become friends with people all over the country and things like that. And on this album, Message to Garcia, they were helped out by quite a few great musicians. Ty Bailey, you may remember, the keyboardist for Star Anna. Nico Case, who I'm sure all of you know who that is. And John Roderick, you know, also all sorts of just amazing musicians on this album. So I urge you to go to iTunes and purchase this. Or I think you can probably go to Rachel Flotard has a record label called Local 638 Records, and they put out our friends Star Anna and the Laughing Dogs' latest album, also Cobirds Unite, Rusty Willoughby's latest album. And Rachel was nice enough to bring along three of these albums for me as a present, as a gift. What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart. And so, Ben Hooker, you're a sweetheart too, as well. Even though you didn't eat any of the crackers that I laid out for you, you just ate all my cheese. All right. Well, it was a pleasure having these guys on. We're going to go out today with this song off of Message to Garcia called Ward, featuring Nico Case on vocals. So I hope you enjoy that. And man, we got all of our plugs out in the first segment of the show. So I've got nothing else for you. Remember, you can, you know, find this show. Well, I guess I do. I just went straight back into it. Isn't that weird? God. So, Jesus. Shameless. I'm just shameless. Shameless. Absolutely shameless. Okay. Well, you can find us, of course, at noisebeam.com / or wait, is it air-raid.noisebeam.com? Yeah, I think that's it. And then air-raid.net. Find us on Facebook. Friend us on Facebook, please. We need some more friends on the old book face. And you can find us there at air-raid.net. Just look us up in the bar or the search bar, whatever. God damn it, my core temperature is still way off, man. I am dying up here. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with yet another great episode 59. We've got somebody coming on the show that I believe you will enjoy. I'm very excited to meet him, this somebody. If it goes through, that's why I'm not saying his name. So anyway, this is Ward off of Message to Garcia by Vis Queen, and we'll see you next week.